The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Thursday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Being that it's Thursday, we're going to take one of those big questions and toss it at Bob and Sean and see what they do with it. This question came in from a listener. Was Jesus telling the woman at the well that she needed to get rid of sin before she could have eternal salvation? What a wonderful question. We look forward to seeing what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about it. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. If you're interested in attending, we would love to see you face to face. You can learn more about that by going to faithalone.org. Just click on the little button that says events, and you can learn all you need to know. Let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus, another episode.
Thank you, Sean.
And you just finished the Cowtown Marathon in Fort Worth. Is there another one on the horizon already, or what?
Well, I don't know. I'm remotely thinking there's one at Bachman at the end of May at Bachman Lake, and okay. I'm remotely thinking about doing that. I've done it once before.
You're thinking about doing it remotely, or?
No. I'm slightly entertaining the thought.
Okay.
And I got Wordle in the New York Times in three steps today.
We've been doing Wordle in the office, just kind of, you know, we work with words. That's our ministry, working
right.
with words. So,
now we're going to do this whole podcast in five-letter words.
Okay, how about you do that?
Start. That was five letters.
That was five letters. So it's
great start.
Great start. Oh. All right. This is a question from Joe. God bless Bob and Sean. I've been a believer in free grace for the last 2 years, but my family still believes in Lordship salvation, and they go to a Lordship salvation church. Their pastor was saying, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he calls her out about having five husbands, and that the current man she's with is not her husband, that he was telling her that she must first get rid of her sin in her life before she can receive everlasting life. I just wanted to know your opinion and a good way to properly explain what Jesus is trying to say there.
Wow. Well, this is a problem I've noticed a lot in evangelicalism, and it's not just the issue of someone saying you need to somehow get rid of your own sin before you can have everlasting life, but it's also the problem of misusing Scripture in some sort of misguided effort to prove that.
Yeah.
And this passage in John chapter 4 absolutely says the opposite of what this pastor is saying.
Right. So you will remember that he's talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and she goes through a progressive understanding of who he is.
Okay, so how does the progression work?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly offhand, but it starts off with you being a Jew.
So he's a Jewish man,
right?
Number one.
And then she kind of calls him, what does she call him? Does she call him sir? It's kind of just a little bit more polite.
I perceive you're a prophet.
Well, then it goes up to prophet.
Yeah, she calls him sir, which could be in slight
just
honorific
like you're just some Jew. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, all right, no, a little bit more polite, a little bit, okay, now I perceive that you're a prophet. And then eventually she gets to the point of, well, it doesn't ever say she believes that he's the Messiah, but that's kind of implied.
Right.
I mean, that becomes the topic of conversation.
Right. And, which is where Jesus is going, because look at
right.
verse 10. In John 4:10, Jesus said, if you knew two things,
yeah.
the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
And in John 3:4, 5, 6, whenever Jesus evangelizes, he kind of uses metaphorical language. And the very first thing a person does is take him too literally. And they misunderstand. So like when he was talking about being born again in Nicodemus, Nicodemus is like, how do I get back into my mother's womb? And in John chapter 6, when he's talking about you need to eat my flesh, they're all like, how can you slice off pieces of your flesh for us to eat? Every time they're misunderstanding.
And she's thinking he's talking about some kind of literal water.
And then she says, sir, you don't even have anything to draw with. You know,
right.
It's like, so again, she takes it too literally. She misses the metaphor here.
But Jesus explains in the ongoing narrative two things.
Yeah.
The gift of God, verse 14, Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.
Right. And by the way, in verse 12, she's like, what are you saying? Are you saying you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? So
right.
That's like you're a Jew. Okay, sir, are you saying you're greater than Jacob? That's not quite being a prophet yet, but she's getting there.
Right.
So Jesus gives her this kind of vague evangelistic message.
Right. But he is explaining that whatever this water is, if you consume it,
yeah,
it springs up in you into everlasting life.
Yeah.
So the living water is not everlasting life.
Yeah.
The living water
results
is the message up that the one who's speaking to her guarantees the gift of God to all who drink this water, that is, all who believe in him.
Yeah.
He goes on to explain who it is that's speaking to you, starting after her point in verse 15. Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Where she's thinking in physical terms.
Yeah, she's still thinking physical. She's like, yeah, I would like to avoid going to this well. Give me this magic water.
But notice she's thinking one drink.
Yeah.
And I'll never thirst again.
So maybe she's gotten that much, you know, out of this message.
She doesn't yet understand who he is.
Or even that this is eternal life. Really.
And she probably doesn't yet grasp that it's everlasting life. But he goes on and brings up about calling her husband.
Yes.
And that's when she says, I have no husband. And he then says, okay, you've had five,
yeah,
which is what Joe asked about. And the person you're living with is not your husband.
Yeah. So,
and that's when she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet.
Yeah, then she's like, oh, okay, now greater than Jacob. Oh, now she's thinking that he's a prophet, not quite there yet in believing he's the Messiah. But basically, Jesus' revelation about her life triggered a response in her.
Right. And here's what the pastor of this local church is saying. As he looks at this passage, he's saying the reason Jesus points out that she's had five husbands and she's currently living in sin is to point out she's a sinner. Well, evidently, the five husbands part, theoretically, that wouldn't be sin. I mean, if she had four husbands, all of whom died,
yeah,
and there was no moral culpability on her part, then theoretically, the only sin would be that she's currently living in sin. But assuming some of these marriages broke up, that they were her fault and there were divorces involved, so there's some moral culpability there that she's not stable in marriage.
Yeah.
But in any point, she's living in sin. The pastor's saying that shows she needs to get rid of the sin in her life?
Yeah, she must get rid of the sin in her life before she can receive everlasting
life.
All
right. Now, let's come back to that in a minute. But
yeah,
before we do, let's see if the reason Jesus is sharing this is because he's telling her she needs to get rid of the sin in her life. Notice that Jesus doesn't say to her, at any point in the discussion, you need to repent.
He doesn't.
He doesn't say you need to stop living with this man
before you can get this living water.
Or even that you need to stop doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's implicit that is something she should do, but there's no clear statement by Jesus to that effect. But notice what happens. This goes on, and the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, and John inserts, who is called Christ. And then she says, when he comes, he will tell us all things.
Yeah.
And that's when Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. Now he's identified, John 4:10, who it is that says to you, give me a drink.
Yeah.
I'm the Messiah.
I'm the Messiah.
And notice what happens. She goes to the village and she talks to the men of the village. And when she talks to the men of the village, notice what she says. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did.
Yeah.
Now notice in verse 25, she said, when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things.
Right. So in her mind, Messiah is someone who answers everything.
And in verse 29, she's saying, hey, this man told me all things. And then she links him with the Christ. Could this be the Christ?
Right.
Well, some might argue that she hasn't yet come to faith, but I think a better understanding is she has come to faith. And she's saying it as a question because she has a low reputation.
She's being tactful in her evangelism.
But one of the things we didn't discuss is after he says, I who speak to you am he, the disciples show up. And in verse 28, the woman left her water pot.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't she come here to draw water? Why is she leaving her water pot?
She's got big news to share with other people.
Yeah, but guess what?
Yeah.
Many commentators point out that the water pot symbolizes the old water. The dead water.
A little bit of allegory here.
The works, the work salvation message, she's leaving that behind to go share the living water message.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Okay, but here's my other point. Okay, first of all, it's real clear that the reason Jesus shares this is to convince her and the people of the town that he's the Messiah.
Basically, what he does is he doesn't reveal the sin in her life to tell her that's what she has to deal with before she believes in him. He does it because that makes her realize, wait a second, this guy is special. Messiah is supposed to be doing this, and he's revealing this knowledge about me. He's the Messiah. So it's evidence that he's the Messiah.
Right, and there's no way he could have known this. This is before Google. This is before looking the person
up.
And
she knows that. She's like, I've never seen this guy before. He's a Jew. He doesn't even come to Samaria.
Right. Jesus is revealing he's Messiah. Now let's go back to the pastor's statement. She needed to get rid of the sin in her life, and we need to get rid of the sin in her life. Okay, how much, Sean?
Yeah. How much?
Is it all sin?
It's oftentimes I think people say, well, you got to deal with the big stuff.
But Jesus only gave one sin here. What if she's also an alcoholic? Does she have to stop doing that?
Or a liar or jealous.
What if she's a thief?
Covetous.
Yeah. Don't you have to get rid of all sin? And isn't that the point of the cross? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
Does the cross do that or do we do that? Well, according to this pastor, we do it. The blood of Christ doesn't do that according to him. And it's not enough for her, to this pastor, to say she's willing to stop doing this.
Well,
she actually has to get rid of it.
I mean, the cross doesn't take away our responsibility to repent.
No, but what I am saying is it makes us to where we gain everlasting life simply by drinking the living water. There's nothing else we need to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, I hope that helps. It might initiate some good conversations there about
with your family.
Taking them through the Gospel of John is a great way to introduce people to the grace message because it's all laid out so simply there. You know where to send your questions, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Thanks for listening, Joe, and thank you for listening to us today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about baptism and how that relates to salvation. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.